Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. We have one host on the line. I'm playing a short intro, and two other callers are due to call in. We will be with you shortly. However, we have two central topics I'd like to discuss first. I'm going to start with the more cheery topic. Mozambique's Gorongosa National Park was the envy of all of Africa. Wildlife drew tourists from all over the world. But beginning in the 1960s, a man-made catastrophe slaughtered the animals until it was said that there was nothing left but mosquitoes and landmines. In 2008, we followed an American entrepreneur who dreamed of returning a wasteland to greatness. Now, 14 years later, Greg Carr, an Idaho philanthropist, has something to show the world, and he couldn't resist a return to Gorongosa when CBS went out there to interview him. So basically, he restored all the wildlife, all the elephants, rhinos, and the people who were living there in destitute had no clothes. They were eating mice for food. They were starving and naked. They even used tree bark for clothes. He now has uniforms for the national park, and he sunk in $100 million of his own money into Mozambique. So I'm not going to, I'm skimming the article. I saw the live segment on 60 Minutes. It's probably the most enlightening story I've heard in 10 years. Because person represents to me somebody who made a lot of money. I don't know his background, but he decided to share it. And the last words he had on 60 Minutes was, if you're a person who has a lot of money and you haven't, donated to charities, Please do, because you'll get a lot more out of it than you put in. So he's been extremely blessed. Look him up, Greg Carr, 60 Minutes, Mozambique National Park. The people who work in the park now, they have their own uniforms. They do their own chant every day to protect the park, and it's really an amazing story. Greg Carr also helped the indigenous people create like 6 strains of coffee that they're using to produce and market, and it's creating an income that and he's built like 69 to 70 schools in the country. And they also had to train teachers because most of the people there did not have larger than a 12th grade education. On a negative note, I am doing like a whistleblowing. I'm doing a whistleblowing show on a company I work with for a year and a half in Superior, Wisconsin. They paid terrible wages. They hired multiple felons for managerial positions. I had made a request for a dollar raise, and the minute I did that, I actually got the raise, and so did the rest of the company. They got it company-wide. But then they started targeting me and treating me differently three or four days after I talked to upper management. They changed the rules for my job. I ended up putting my 2 weeks' notice in, and some bad crap went down. If you want to look it up, it's on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Jane Hoffman Angelus. So with that, I'm going to bring Pianke in first. He's been holding the longest, and then Don and John. Hi,
Hello,
Pianke.
How are you? Hey,
good.
How are you,
how's
everyone?
Your evening going?
Evening's doing fine. Happy Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day.
That's important to remember. And
it's
my father served in that war. And we'll get into that stuff in a second. Hi, Don. How are you doing today?
Hey, Dane. Hello, everybody. Just watching the Las Vegas Golden Knights play.
A fight?
I saw that. No, the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
Were you going to tell me you saw the 60-minute documentary?
Yes, I did.
Or a segment, I should say.
Yep, I don't know what his ultimate goal is.
He's not. His goal was to restore the animals to the park and create a livable wage for the people living there.
He's
pretty old. I think he's in his 70s.
He has the basis to become a dictator, Jim Jones or something, because the
you're even more cynical than me.
Okay.
And I just outed a company on YouTube, and now I'm probably going to get sued.
Well,
so anyways, John Yoder's on the line. Where are you, John?
Oh, I'm here. How are you?
I'm surviving.
What's up, John?
So, let's start out with let's just very briefly cover the Mozambique thing. Like, I think it's kind of amazing that somebody even has $100 million to spend. And you know, like, I mean, he's more, in some ways, he's more powerful than a country in all of its own, just like Bill Gates and a few other people. But the fact that he sunk all this money into a country that was really suffering is really impressive to me. Does anybody have a comment?
No, just say, just like Jim Jones.
Not everybody wants to drink the Kool-Aid, Don.
Some people are forced to. They don't have a choice.
Okay, let's move on to Pianke and John.
No, all I can say is that it's extremely admirable what he's doing, and we need more people like that because we're all connected in the world, but, you know, and so any help, anytime one of us helps another, we're all helping ourselves as a collective. Go ahead. Hi, Pinaki.
Hello, I have not, only thing I can say is George S. Patton. Go George S. Patton.
He wants to talk about the anniversary of Pearl Harbor, and we will. We'll let him in 2 or 3 seconds.
And
but
Uzbekistan.
John...
Uzbekistan.
Okay, we'll get
well,
to that. I'm not sure what that battle cry is, but I dated someone from Tajikistan. John, what's your... John, what's on the top of your brain tonight?
I just know that Ukraine is bombing with Russia with drones, too.
Okay, John, can you hold off a minute until we do the roundtable discussion?
Well,
no.
It's a good thing.
What's a good thing, John?
If a person can do some good on the planet, it's a good thing, and it's spiritual currency. If this world is only the here and now, then it's dog eat dog. But once you die, if there's a spiritual world and it's forever, then that's a pretty important thing to invest in. It's a bet that we all have to make. Do we kill and get ahead of the person in front of us in line, or do we share and maybe as a collective do better? And get a spiritual reward. So I think it's a good thing.
Yeah,
right.
Be a
over
place
14
of
years,
nothing
this guy
but conservatives.
The guy researched the flora and fauna of the land, and not only did he bring the animals back, but, you know, he made the ecosystem more balanced. So, let's go to Pianke. You did mention something to me in... your text. So, what would you
I
like to?
I said the internal life, the internal paragraph on paradise would be a place of nothing but conservatives. It would be good. Thank you.
The paragraph. Wait, say that again, slower, please.
Paradise.
The place of paradise would consist of nothing but conservatives. It would be great.
And how does that relate to Pearl Harbor Day?
Damn.
Well, a lot of them gave their life. But I would just be in, throwing something out to go along with the other remark that the gentleman made.
John. Or John, I meant.
Yes.
Well, we should point out Pearl Harbor Day now. Every time December 7th rolls around, I get mixed up by one day and think about John Lennon, but he actually was killed on the 8th. My father served in World War II, so World War II is one of the most significant things in history that ever happened in the last 200 years. So to me, it's a very important war, and the world changed after that war quite a bit. There's a lot of historical significance to that battle, and 85 million people died worldwide, and every country was involved just about. So, yes, it's an important day for me to remember. I believe John's father served in Korea, right, John? I mean, somebody take the lead if you're going to want to talk about it. No problem on my end. I don't have to take the lead.
Oh yeah, you know he did serve in Korea. Actually, he did. Yeah.
Okay. Now I don't think Don had any parents who served in World War II, right, Don?
Wrong again, Jane. G.I. Jane. No, my dad.
Have you
my
been?
Dad was...
Go ahead, Don.
My dad was in the Navy, and he was one of the boxing champions on his ship in Guam. So I had a job, and I met a guy who was another boxer in Guam on the Navy ship, and he said he knew my dad, and that would have been, if he really did, that would have been one heck of a coincidence. No, it could be a God's back, you know, a God shot. So, you know, just it is what it is. And that's why, you know, my philosophy is more or less laissez-faire, you know, just kind of whatever, you know, we're an animal. So whatever nature takes us, wherever we're there to do it. It's God's calling, Spirit's calling, whoever you might want to say. So,
what year did your father die?
I don't believe shit. 2004. Yeah.
Okay. I just remembered he lived in L.A. and I worked with you during the time he was alive.
Mhm. Yeah, I don't know if you ever met him.
No, I didn't.
Sort of
I never even met Pat till 2010.
Right, exactly.
No, I met Pat in 2000. Yeah. I'm sorry, I take that back. I met her in 2005.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Pianke,
yes.
Why is Pearl Harbor Day important to you?
Because it was an event that helped produce the coming together of the greatest society that this country probably could ever give a claim to.
You mean a transformation of, like, liberty because the Germans were defeated?
No, it was the coming together of Americans to carry out and achieve a victory at no
cost.
Yes,
and World War One wasn't exactly... We did win World War One, but it just gave the Germans... the war ended in 1917. It gave the Germans about 15 years to recollect and start all over again and build armaments and try to destroy the world again. So, you guys, I'm not really I know a lot about World War II, but I'm not really prepared to talk about that tonight, so I'm just going to be honest. My mind frame is not in that setting. Yes, Donald.
No, that's right. Yeah, no. I mean, aren't you going to apologize to me for not thinking that I had relatives in the World War II?
I apologize.
There you go. That's what I wanted everybody to hear. Yay! All right, continue.
Your ego is the centerpiece of your dialogue.
My ego is the centerpiece of the universe.
Okay, so we're going to talk. Now I'm going to talk about corporations like Smart Data Solutions who break U.S. employment laws. So I worked for a company a year and a half, and it was lousy wages, and it was technically my third job. And there, I only stayed there for two reasons. It was kind of a nice diversion to do monotonous desk work. There were some interesting employees, but on the other hand, the management was kind of sleazy, and so were some of the coworkers. However, I did put my notice in, I believe it was October 27th, and I didn't fulfill the entire 14 days because they decided to lock me out of the computer 3 days before my 14 days was up and pay me my final paycheck. Now, at that point, I wasn't making waves. But for the whole year and a half that I worked there, I knew that the head boss at that company was a violent felon. Why? Because he had beat my best friend up in Duluth 20 years earlier and risked the life of my friend's infant daughter. However, I never really paid any attention to it because it didn't affect me directly and it was years ago. And I can be forgiving of people with bad records. But the fact of the matter is they didn't honor what they said they were going to do. They didn't complete an investigation I asked them to complete, and they offered to do. And I did file an EEOC claim, and they're still not following up on things that they were supposed to. So after waiting for 5 weeks, I decided to go public on YouTube. Now, is this a smart decision, or is it a common decision? And do you guys know of any whistleblowers in your previous companies?
No, totally did.
No, well, I've lost a couple of jobs being a whistleblower. Not necessarily per se, and they weren't my fault. And this, you know, they're different incidences, and I've lost a couple of jobs having the whistles blown on me. So
now, did you go to upper management, or how did you go about claiming the truths that you thought were unjust?
Not necessarily. I'd go up to upper management, but I would just have to. I'd have to kind of just sit down and relax and let them run the show. The companies, you know, have all kinds of clauses you sign, you know, contracts. So you've got they've got you as a slave, no matter how much money you're making. So you
in
know,
other words, you can't narc on them.
Well, no, you narc on them, you get the consequences. That's all you know. You know, you narc on them, you get the consequences.
In the case of myself, I was just, you know, I wouldn't call myself an elevated grunt. I was just a grunt. Like, I agreed to the low wages. I did the job. It was only 15 to 20 hours a week. There was flexible scheduling.
Are you listening? You did.
Yes,
you
I'm
did
listening,
the right
but
thing.
You're not being specific.
I've had so many of them, I can't be specific on one way or the other. I mean, there was a job where I was forced to whistleblow, and I didn't even know it was a whistleblowing at the Herald Examiner. I didn't even know it was whistleblowing because it blew up in the perpetrator's face, embezzling monies.
In other words,
you know,
the person who was doing the wrong got busted another way.
At my expense, because it was my accounts that my manager embezzled. So he had
That's
access
too
to
bad.
My account. And so I had to just say my piece and make sure that they understand that I wasn't me. You know, $10,000, but you know, there's all kinds of it. I mean, every business has some kind of issue.
Was that a
sales
job?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, John and I worked together at SOS. I mean, yes, SOS. I won't say the name of the company. It was a office supply chain in downtown LA. We're not really a chain; a family-owned business. Before
right, I
left,
I know SOS well.
Okay, John, you're interrupting, okay?
So?
And you've been doing it the whole show, so
correct.
Give each person a turn.
All I
so,
said was
basically,
I know SOS well.
You have never dealt with the company we worked at. It was a separate thing that I did. And it was after you had moved away. I lived in L.A. from 1987 to 91, and then I moved back in 99. So anyways, what happened was there was a policy they had that I didn't agree with. When people returned an office supply that they didn't like or want, the company refused to give them credit unless that customer reminded them 4 or 5 times. In other words, they never sent out the credit slips. They just kept them in a drawer. So in other words, they profited from all the returns unless an astute customer noticed that they were had made a return and didn't get credit for it. So I did talk to the number two in command about it, but there was another employee there who knew that they knew I had consulted the Department of Consumer Affairs in the state of California, and I think he narked on me. Anyways, I ended up getting laid off, but Brian paid my wages for 2 weeks, and I was cool with that because my job was 30 to 35 hours a week, but the workload was only 20, so I was starting to get restless there anyways. I was upset about it, but I couldn't do anything about it, and I didn't agree with them, and they didn't agree with me, so we parted ways. So I didn't really whistleblow because I never got from point A to point B, but I think they felt threatened in some way. So that was the end of that story. So I don't join a company I've worked for the feds, the state, and the local government. I've worked for private businesses. I don't take jobs looking for fault finding. But if I see something really immoral, then I will say something. John or Pianki, do you have a comment?
No, that's the humanity in you. That's good.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Well, there is more to the story, but
not
I'm
really,
trying to
John.
Keep the, well, sort of. You did come from a partially virtuous point. Now, there were customer service staff like me who I made sure that they, whenever I issued a credit, they got copies of the credits. I would remind them, oh, by the way, be sure to take your credit. So it wasn't, you know, like the company was shafting everyone. We took a lot of returns and a lot of stuff that, you know, like example, someone would order a brand new desk. We'd ship it to them, and then they go, oh, we don't like the shade of it. So we'd have to take the whole thing back, return it, reorder another one. It's very, and then after setting it up, after delivering it, we would take a lot of losses on stuff like that. So they were trying to survive. They actually did go out of business and got bought out by a competitor. But Virtuous Jane basically was going to whistleblow, but she was also going to back off the demand if they gave her extra benefits and kind of like a raise type of thing. So it's kind of like a blackmail.
No, I didn't ask for that, John. I accidentally, one day I did all the accounts receivables. So I, like anytime,
right.
Let's say there was 40 checks a day, I would put them in the system. Well, one day there was a glitch, and I asked Stacy, where does this credit go? Like, where do I file it? She opened up her left-hand drawer, and there was a pile of 100 credit slips that weren't even accounted for in her drawer. I found it accidentally. Right. Then I ended up telling John and another guy whose name starts with an S that I was upset about it. And one day S walked by my desk, and I left a window open because I wrote a letter to the Department of Consumer Affairs, and he saw it. Well, then a week later, Brian met with me in his office, and he said he's going to let me go, and he gave me my final paycheck. I didn't ask for anything. It was over.
Well, I don't know. My version of what I heard from you is that, like, you're going to waive the thing if they gave you some extra benefits. Like, yeah, you were going to.
What kind
I
of benefits? I already had free medical from the county.
I know that you were. you were squeezing them from what I remember of the thing. Like you better give me this or that, or I'm going to just tell everyone, and, you know,
I told them that I didn't tell them anything like that, but without their knowledge, I had copies of all the companies they owed money to, and I kept it for 15 years, and then finally it was in a storage down by my twin sister's house, and I just decided to throw it all away.
Mm.
Well, that's
maybe John did hear a rumor about something, but after a certain point, there was no negotiation. I got a temp job in the Valley, and it was over and done with.
Don't you remember, though, I was telling you, what's the morality if you're willing to wave goodbye to this by accepting money. Like I told you, I mean, I remember having this conversation, like you're blackmailing them to, because they're extorting money from, you know, the customer technically, you know? And I don't know. You don't remember that conversation?
I didn't ask for any dollar amount, John. Now maybe, you know, this was 20 years ago, so maybe I'm forgetting something. But
okay.
The fact of the matter is I did tell Brian I thought it was wrong. I called Manning and Martyr, one of the law firms, and told them that they owed, SOS owed them at least, I think it was $10,000 or $20,000. But that's the only thing I did in the long run. I backed off. I didn't follow through.
And then they let you go, huh?
And then Brian told me if I caused any more commotion that he would make sure my unemployment didn't go through, and he allowed it to go through. So in a sense, he was reprimanding me.
So it kind of worked out.
Yeah, we both decided to put out the flames and said goodbye. And do you remember 2 years later when I went to Virginia for the summer in 2005 and Brian loaned me $500 until my student loan money came? Or did you forget that part?
He was kind to you at times.
This is 4 years after I left.
Yeah.
He gave me a loan of $500.
Well, you know, he's capable of good. Did you know that he used to donate time to, it's kind of like a boys club, like a Big Brother program? He was part of Big Brother.
Yeah, I did know that, actually. But
I
didn't even
that.
Have to take my clothes off.
Because I nicknamed him the Bulldog. Because, you know, he was that's the way he was with us. He was tough with the staff. And I remember one day he said, like, he would tell us, you know, you got to raise the prices on the customers and be tough with them. He says, you know, like $29.99 a case of paper isn't going to feed the Bulldog. And after that, I said, that's him. He is the Bulldog. So I started nicknaming that, like the staff. It was our undercover name for him, like, well, Bulldog's coming. And,
I remember you and all the front office people calling him that.
Well, he did a really kind of like not that smart of a deal. We had offices remodeled, and his office had glass all the way around. It's kind of like plexiglass, so you could see in.
That must have been after I left, because he used to sit right next to me.
Yeah, well, the thing is, normally when you do something like that, you have it so that you can see all the staff and they can't really see you. You know, like he should be facing and our back should be towards him. Instead, he had it set up where his back was basically to us and we could see what he's doing. And how we would kind of work around that, he'd go out to the warehouse and come back to the kind of the back door. And from the back way, there was glass so you could see over our shoulders from the back.
Yeah.
So, the way my desk was positioned, sometimes I could see, you know, what he's up to. So I would tell the guys on alert, like, oh, Bulldog's watching, you know, because they would, maybe they were surfing the internet or, you know, not always working every minute. And he would come by and look over through the glass, he'd look over the shoulder like a bulldog ready to pounce. And I would just like, I wouldn't say it loud, I'd just say bulldog, you know, bulldog alert. And they would like switch their screen. It was a hilarious thing. I miss that place.
Yeah, it really wasn't that bad of a place to work. And I just wanted to mention that, well, Brian pulled a few stunts too, but I'm not going to talk about it. But after about a year there, you know, I got tired of some of the same customers in the entertainment business. Like they were $15,000 to $20,000 behind on their bill, and Brian would just tell me, you know, just nudge them to pay. Well, they weren't paying, so I put pressure on them. You know, I got tired of them not paying.
Right, and that's how come. In a certain way, I mean, I think it wasn't fair what we did, but on the other hand, I could understand their rationale trying to survive. Like, our customers were stringing us out, you know, 2 or 3 months, and we were dying. And so we had credit money. If we issued them more credit money, we would just, you know, be slashing our throats. So it was kind of a survival thing.
Yeah, he told me it was the business margins.
Yeah, so I mean,
Something about business margins.
You got to be straight up with people. I think it comes back to you. But on the other hand, I understand all is fair and, you know, love and war was kind of the mentality of it at the time.
Well, you know, like, I think I just wanted, it's not like I'm trying to stick it to the man, but I want answers. If someone can't give me the answers, and after I found out the truth, I was in shock for 2 days. You know, I literally was in shock that they would be stashing these credit slips in a drawer. Like, that was so tacky to me. So I did give Brian a chance to explain it, but it's not like I was going to take him to court or anything. Like, it happened so fast I didn't even have time to react. And then to make matters worse, I had moved to the Valley already, you know, and I was so mad at Marvin Rosenblum, I stopped at a payphone at a corner gas station at 5:30, and I parked in a yellow zone, and my car was towed with my final paycheck in the car. And then Wade and I went to the tow place, and we climbed an 8-foot fence so we could get my final paycheck out of the car because I couldn't get it till the next day. So that's the end of that story. I'm sure Don and Bianchi are getting bored.
Where was your paycheck?
In the front seat of my car, and I called Marvin from a payphone, and while I was talking to him, my car got towed.
That's classic Jane Austen. That's what I'm talking about. Is like Jane was had a show going on every day. She'd walk into the office and she'd start talking
about
crazy stuff.
You know what, Carol? Carol, one time you told my identical twin sister that they had a contest to lose weight and Jane wouldn't join. You threw me under the bus a few times.
Oh, most of the time I didn't have to say anything. You would just walk in the office and start doing a break dance and trying to do
the doogie.
No,
I did the moonwalk.
Yeah.
And then also, go ahead.
You'd start talking about your love life and personal life. And I was like, Jane, you can tell me because I'm a Christian and we're friends. But I said, you know, some of these people, they're not Christians, so they're not going to take it to heart like I do.
And Sebastian,
you know,
made up a fake girlfriend named Brita, and you guys lied to me for 2 years.
Well, you bought it hook, line, and sinker. We could. He was the kid. We were having too much fun with it.
And then Brian actually liked me as a person, too. I asked if I could go to his house to make guacamole for the Christmas party. And he said, no, you're from Wisconsin. You'll put too much cheese in it. Well, technically, I was from Minnesota.
Wow.
Well, he used to have sex conversations on his phone with his best friend, and I had to listen to it next door.
You know, Brian, like, at times he would say the wrong things at the wrong time. So, when we would have company events where, you know, there's all the staff, 50 people, like at a kind of like at a conference dinner type of thing, and we would have these representatives come up and they'd speak and they'd give a little spiel about their latest products. And, you know, normally there's usually someone that will raise their hand half the time and throw in comments, you know, like the Mr. Know-It-All. I started counting, like, I think I got up to about 100 times, literally, that he would interrupt. He'd say, and he would try to tell a joke or something smart or clever. And I started counting, and I was telling the other coworkers, like, well, watch this. This is number 13, you know. Oh, number 14's coming up. And over an hour and a half, I mean, just every other minute, he was just interjecting. It was hilarious. But
like, he never had a good social cue, and You know how many times he told me the story that he ran a dentist office right before he got the job there, and that he had no experience running a dental office and he got the job right out of college? He told me that story 50 times.
Well, the funniest thing, one of the funniest things was we hired a new office manager, Cindy. And Cindy was very busty and kind of cute. And so the first day she was working, Brian was meeting one of our reps and going to lunch. And he had in his office a function on his phone where he could put it to speaker for the building. So whatever he's talking on the phone, you know, like you want to page someone, he could just hit a button, conference, and it would go blast the whole thing. So he had one of the reps, he went out to lunch to meet a female rep, and he came back, and someone couldn't make it, and they showed up late, and they went to his office. And Brian had paged someone over the PA, like, oh, you know, Bill, come to the, you know, whatever. And he forgot to turn off the speaker. So the rep comes in there and says, hey, how was lunch? And everyone can hear it. And he said, oh, you know, it was kind of boring. He says, you know, but the rep was cool. She had big tits. He started talking about the girl's body. You know, and so I'm turning around, you know, Cindy was her first day as the manager, right? So she's hearing this stuff blast out. So thank goodness he didn't start talking about Cindy.
That sounds pretty tacky.
Oh, yeah, because I turned around and I said Sebastian, and the bulldog is live, you know, and we started laughing, you know, and Matt was going crazy because Matt would repeat everything that, you know, like, oh, yeah, listen to that. And he was just cracking up. He was a really cool Mormon guy, but we were shocked. And then
it was a fun place to work, and my job was pretty laid back. Like, I only worked there 30 hours a week, and I had to call people in collections, and it was no pressure. You just call and you talk to them. Like, I didn't, like, get a percentage back of all the money I collected. It was just reminding them to do things. But then I spent the last hour of the day putting in accounts receivable.
I see. So,
yeah, I was sad to leave there in a sense, but I just had a hard time coping with how they handled certain aspects of their business. I do understand the big picture meaning now, but back then it was hard to comprehend.
Well, you know, what you could have done, which is what I did, is you
just
call up, whatever company. You could just call up those companies that, you know, that you felt were, you know, out, and just call them and say, oh, by the way, I have a copy of, you know, this credit. You know, just, you know, you haven't taken it. Wonder if you will. You know, I used to do that with the customers all the time. I mean, they weren't going to stop me, you know, because I treated the customers like family, and I always wanted to make sure. It was always better that I call them than they find out and then call me. So that's come. I always was
and they never cut
that.
Off anybody's credit for being 20 grand behind. So let's have Bianchi or Don go now, because I feel like we're monopolizing
the
show.
Well, what I want to know is why come Christians aren't more effective and more assertive in making sure that the nativity scenes are placed out this holiday season?
I've only seen one Pianke in the whole city where I live.
Why come children aren't allowed to put those in their schools to give comfort and also recognition to the birth of their Lord and Savior? I think that it's terrible that these schools don't allow that no more. And I think it's worse, terrible, that parents are not assertive. This is our school district, and it's my child, my choice.
I saw a Lutheran church with a nativity scene. I work in a public school, but I'm two blocks from Holy Rosary Catholic School, and I'm pretty sure they can put out whatever they want. Now, there's no holiday decorations at my school except for we have a Christmas tree in the kitchen cafeteria. but I haven't seen any. I don't really go to any other part of the building.
Well, when one walk into the school, that should fit. Stand a big Christmas tree decorated thoroughly.
Yeah, well,
and
I go through the back side. We have two parking lots, and I go through the. It's not really the basement. I go through the first floor entrance, and I never walk through the main office.
Well,
so I can't really speak for Duluth. I work at two jobs. One is 1 mile one way, and the other one's 5 miles the other way. But I only just see regular holiday decorations in people's yards. I don't see a lot of nativity scenes.
Well,
and I see none at schools on the outside part of the campus.
Yeah, because the church has sat back and got too comfortable and never stood up for the what it should have in the 60s when Madeline Murray O'Hare, a communist, got the separation of church and state, which isn't specifically in the Constitution, those words. When she used that angle to get God taken out of the school, is really elimination of church from state rather than separation. And basically, we haven't stood up and fought for that, so we've lost a lot of these used to be in school.
Well, the Constitution says that government shall not respect an institution or religion. It doesn't say anything about separation. That's what people have talked about. You can't have no government church like the King of England.
They can't put Christian decorations in schools because there's Kwanzaa, there's Hanukkah. It's not just the birth of Jesus in December.
Well, what I'm saying is they go against the installation of Christian recognized icons, and it's terrible. I didn't let my kids celebrate Kwanzaa.
Yeah, well, I was listening to Christian radio the other day, and they gave like a 4-minute synopsis of Saint Nicholas, who lived in the 300s. AD, and it was pretty cool, but they didn't really go into too much detail. Now, besides the birth of Christ, there's a lot of other traditions that factor into Christmas. And we did discuss this on one show, because Germans in the 1500s are the ones who started lighting trees in the forest. And then it ended up in people's houses, and Martin Luther was instrumental in that.
The Catholic Church tried to take a lot of pagan holidays, like Halloween or Hallow's Eve, and the Christ Mass. They tried to convert it, and they kind of did a good decent job from that thing. Yes, so it to some degree it did work. I mean, it's been over commercialized, but I at least like the fact that it gives a person the right to say, "Hey, it's Christ's birthday," and to think about it. But it's one of those things where if you look at the traditional history of some of these things, it's kind of a Catholic conversion of the event.
And I learned in Western civilization class that, which something we've talked about recently, during the Constantine era, a lot of pagan holidays were merged with Christian celebrations because they wanted to appease the Romans and kind of like merge the cultures. Now, the Catholics have an ungodly amount of saint holidays and saint recognition days. Just about every day on the calendar is some kind of recognition.
Well, you know, a lot of people have never read Lincoln's Proclamation for Thanksgiving because it mentions God, it mentions repentance, and asking for God's mercy or forgiveness so we can be blessed as a country. And I didn't know about it. I mean, the wording of that until about 5 years ago when someone sent me a copy of it. And I realized because I was going to school through the 60s, is because of that church separation of church and state. They didn't want us reading it because it mentioned God, they'd rather stick with the turkey and pilgrims and Indians and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I haven't read the full thing in a long time, but anything Lincoln did is awesome by me. So, Don, you're not in. You're
well,
not
Lincoln
out of
had
the
no
loop
business.
Yeah.
Lincoln had no business. People are taking it out of context about him freeing slaves. He had no authority over countries that seceded. Nor those of the sovereign Indian countries in this in the U.S.
Did he take over?
Did who take over?
What were you saying? What did you say Lincoln did wrong?
I say he had no authority to take claim for freeing slaves, except for those that were behind Union troops as contraband.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that Kansas was the last state to free slaves.
Well, it was a very difficult situation, you know, because he was president. He also had an election coming up in a couple of years, so he needed to get reelected to keep going. The country was divided, so you got half the country, you know, wanting slavery to continue, and you got the other half not. And then there was this divide over, you know, what to do. So he had to keep both sides, you know, he tried to placate them. And it was a very tough thing, you know, because people say, well, he didn't really free the slaves. Well, he's racist. Like, they want to take down his statues right now in a few different states. And there's also the Dakota 38. You know, they were kind of yelling about that. Well, if you look at the situation, it was going to be the Dakota 303. There's 303 people they were going to kill. 38 had already been sentenced by the military, so he was already in the spot. Okay, if I fight that, the military, I'm going to have them against me and the local people against me because there was a basically a lot of killing going on both sides. So trying to keep the country together in the middle of the Civil War, you know, he knows if he goes too extreme, it's all going to be lost. So he was trying to keep the country together at all costs because he can't do anything if the country's, you know, blown up. So he basically tried to accommodate as many people as he could to keep the thing going. And they got to a point, it's like, okay, we're just going to issue the emancipation. And but he had to wait till they got a victory over General Lee, where there was enough advantage to it. If he had suffered too many losses, he might not have declared it because there wouldn't have been any support. You know, it's like with Trump. If you don't have the support to back you, then all you do is you get thrown out, and everyone tries to get you. Which they killed him, you know, 5 days after the last battle. Well, last large battle. So he never really saw the whole thing finish, as it were.
Well, he should have paid those owners for their property. What he should have done, if you want to do that right, buy them back.
Well, you know, personally, he was opposed to slavery, but, you know, again, as a president, you kind of have to go with what. It's just like today with politics, there's a lot of perfect things that you can do, but there's a lot of money involved to get to that place. So
you still should have paid them. If you want somebody to give up their ship, you pay them for it. You want them to give up their cannon and want them to give up their cow, you pay them for it. It's their property.
True. However, basically, they were trying to switch the whole system over to where everyone was free. And at a certain point, you know, he said, you know, whatever goes forward from this, this is the one thing I'm most proud of. I mean, he did say, you know, issuing the emancipation, I'm good with it, you know. And they went over it for months, and they went through the wording.
He could only emancipate those that was behind the Union troops. those who sought refuge as contraband. That was it. They belonged, and ultimately, he released them. They should have released them back to the owners. Now, the owners, like anybody else with property, like we have today, intimate domain, they would have been probably more than gladly to be compensated for what they paid for their property. I mean, just use some common sense. They had to pay the Indians. Indians said, you're going to pay us for our property.
All right. Well,
if you go out and buy a car that somebody sells you, and then all of a sudden, I think that have been done. Oh, well, yeah, with gun buybacks, right?
True.
They do gun buybacks. They want people to give up their property in the form of guns to some extent. So people ain't going to just walk in and set them down on the floor. So they pay them for it.
Well, if you put it out there that that people are free and that there's not going to be a practice of slavery, then the South secedes. I mean, at some point you either go fight about it or you just let it go. So
the war wasn't about slavery anyway. The war is about economics.
Right.
By the way, they just named Zelensky the person of the year on Time magazine.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, Time magazine has got the it ain't good fish paper wrapping fish anymore.
You should see Bob Dylan's 1960s interview about Time magazine. He goes, Time magazine is for a certain class of people. He was pretty much saying it was fake news.
Yeah, that's another arm of, I guess you could say, the globalists or the Jewish capitalist, probably, that wants to tear down the United States, want to get the United States drawn into a war with Russia.
A lot of money.
I got to step off the show a minute to rewrite the description. Don, are you going to be silent all night again?
You told me.
I put you on probation for 4 minutes. You're free to talk.
Oh, okay. What are we talking about now?
John can clue you in while I type.
All right, John. What's happening?
Well, you're a free man, brother. You're not three-fifths of a human.
Oh, no, I never thought I was. I'm 10-fifths of a human.
That's
so
great.
I've always believed that, so I have no problem at all with anything anyone says.
Well, Charles Barkley says when he speaks at schools, that at the white schools, 90% of them want to, be doctors or this or that. But when he goes to the black schools, 90% of them want to be basketball players or entertainers. And
basketball
the
is entertainment. Slaves was brought for two things: work and entertaining.
Exactly. And so we just have to slowly, naturally get out of this situation. We will, because there are two things, and you always hear it from me. Africans are bigger, faster, smarter, and stronger. But the other thing is that this retention of our peoples is good for us in a lot of ways, because we don't have to go through that flickering light and darkness that is presented to us on a daily basis at this time in history. So once everyone is established and has established that there is a God-given race to lead, then I think that we'll have an opportunity to make great progress with this country and the world. Other than that, everything's great, except the Golden Knights are losing.
How long do you think that's going to take?
eons. It's going to take 200 years or so. Once, you know, I don't want to say, and this is just my conception of the future, the loss of a lot of our Caucasian brothers and sisters, just due to a whole lot of things, and the population just won't be there anymore. So, you know, I estimate
about... Who would we be at if it wasn't for the Caucasian?
There is no truer
statement. Where would we be at if it wasn't for the white man?
There is no better statement than that. Right now, you know, only the most short-sighted of idiots would bring in essentially hundreds of thousands of people of another culture and expect them to be placated or pacified for more than 300 years, 400 years. Without knowing there was going to be some kind of revolt or civil war about it. Ours only took 200. But, you know, only the worst kind of person in the world would have such short foresight in order to see that somebody is going to eventually get into your family genealogy, your business, is going to govern your life.
I think he was a godsend.
God does this all. That's why I don't understand why all you folks are, everybody, all these folks are tripping. Why they don't have peace? Why they can't relax? You know, this is a wonderful world.
It would be, but, you know, think about this. Over 3,000 years ago, we had
motherfucking thing.
Well, here's something to consider. There used to be people with pyramids. There used to be people with pyramids and with all-seeing eyes and oars and all this stuff. And Moses comes with the Ten Commandments and he says, "Hey, you know, let my people go." Now you go back to today. We still got people in L.A. running around with their pyramids and they got their all-seeing eyes. And we're still practicing the Ten Commandments. And we still got Jews running Hollywood. So what's changed in 3,000 years from, you know?
They didn't have Hollywood. That's about it. They just called it, you know, they called it Russia. And, well, they didn't even call it that. None of these countries had names, really. So you can't say anything.
In 2020, with COVID, Bill Gates with Microsoft applied for a patent for cryptocurrency, for global currency transaction system. And it basically, they put a device on your cell phone, your laptop, your computer, your tablet, whatever, and it will read your body activity, like brain waves, like alpha, beta, gamma, theta, all that, or your body fluids, or your body heat radiation. And this is to, if it identifies you, then it and you meet the conditions for cryptocurrency, it will allow your transactions. And the patent for it is 2020-06-06-06. I mean, 666 in there. And this is what they're working on, like to track your brain waves, your body functions. So I don't know if we're going to be around for a billion years to figure this stuff out.
I'm talking 200 until the black man takes control, and then we will figure it out. That's the whole point. There's nobody who gives us a chance.
I don't think black men are going to take it. If a black man... Blacks in America is cursed.
We call it, in a way that might be true, but in a lot of ways, I think that we just haven't had our time. We haven't had the chance.
Time.
They never had their time, man.
They had their time early on. If you want to consider blacks in America, no. If you want to consider skin color, they had their chance.
No, you didn't. 2% of them have, you know, made any kind of money at all until 18.
That's 16. About what. That's about the best you're gonna get. You have to think about it. What
no,
are you? All everything
that's exactly
is everything is everything has been tried in schools. The money that's been spent, and it only produces so much. It's just like,
but black people weren't able to read or go to school until the
they were able to read and go to school. How did you produce all those scientists that participated in the Manhattan Project if they weren't able to go to school?
Because they were all some were able to go to school. Probably a small percentage, many in the South.
Well, then
not.
You can't say that. You
they
can't
were
say
killed.
That.
They were killed.
You can't say that blacks were not able to go to school, were not allowed to read and write. They were allowed. They could read and write if they wanted to.
So what kids are not allowed to go to school today?
They'd be killed, Bianchi.
Today?
If you were trying to read in
Georgia.
Who's going to
kill you?
18...
Who in Meacham Park?
Meacham,
he had a school in the middle of the Mississippi River. Nobody's sinking his boat. And between Meacham Park and Kirkwood to the Mississippi River is a long distance. People there could set up schools anywhere. My first wife's grandmother lived in Meacham Park.
I'm not saying everywhere that happened, but many places.
But that's what you. But that's what.
80s.
That's the way they say it. Listen to me. Blacks were not allowed to read and write. Well, that's the narrative that people buy into. That is totally false.
Wrong. Bullshit. It was totally true.
It was not true.
Education was not allowed in many places.
You know how many schools...
You win. Fuck it. You win.
You know how many schools that... You know how many schools with Sears and Robots built? He built over 5,000 in the South.
I don't give a shit. That was just Robots. That wasn't Sears. Sears was the other partner.
And I can't think of the guy's name. He built over 5,000 schools for blacks in the South.
But
what they should have done is when Lincoln tried to send them back to Africa.
Frederick Douglass was not able to go to school. I mean, this is
Frederick Douglass could go to school. Frederick Douglass was half black and half white.
We didn't have cars and cell phones back then. We didn't have television. You're talking about like another world. This is not
I've
the
never
world
seen
we live in.
Nothing like this. People try to, they come up with these crazy narratives,
people
and they first say it.
You know
they
how
first
read,
say it.
You know
they
how
first.
Right now, blacks have said that read. I mean, came out about 3-4 months ago that said blacks essentially are 200 years behind whites in education. That doesn't.
Whose fault is that?
We've been here at the same time. We've been here the same
200
time.
Years.
We got here the same time.
200 years. Our the damn nation wasn't even formed 200 years ago.
Our test scores, I don't give a fuck. Our test scores are so bad that they seem that they'll never catch up.
What's
what
your IQ?
Different paradigms.
What's your IQ?
I don't know. I never did even keep up with that. Because
we
IQ
only go to school.
Well, you know, I'm tell you something. You know what? You know what I'm going to tell you, and I'm not trying to be funny. You damn near in there 200 years yourself.
IQ, the IQ is a test that only a certain culture would know about.
You place yourself. I think you're in that 200 years behind also.
We only go to school for 12 years.
I don't mind it. I don't mind being treated as 200 years because they can sort out the bullshit and then we'll be able to take care of business.
Take care of what kind of business? You can't run a damn city. I know some names. Majority of them, every city they try to run just goes to pot.
That's because there's a different paradigm. It's a paradigm of more freedom, more peace, more acceptance. instead of something that is
what you need to, what needs to be done is they need to separate who's who and who ain't, because that's what the reality is. To try to bunch all blacks into some one paradigm is totally ridiculous.
I'm sure.
And the sad part is that children suffer.
You want to get rid of the Constitution, I'm sure.
Get rid of the Constitution for what?
Hey, your man, 45, is...
He never says that. You need to read. Why are you saying... See, people, you're talking to a lot of people. You just immediately said they can't read. They wasn't allowed to read and write for 200 years. That's what you said.
And you just said that we're all in the 21st century. Or we're, this is now. But the bottom line is that I'm not sure about anything, about any of that, because we've got what, Lindsey Graham, who was that today? He said the Republican Party was in shambles and, it was a cult, something like that. And he's one of the outspoken Reverend, I forgot who it was. But anyway, that some of these principles, I believe, should be rethought. But, the facts, if people, can't see facts, then I can't help them.
Well, here's the thing.
Pearl Harbor, remember, was a complete disaster because we were not prepared at any way, shape, or form. Our military was unprepared. That's
about like it is now.
And that's the truth, because they won't let anybody in, especially minorities. A certain minority.
You got to have people that skill that can operate the technology today.
That's what training is about. You got to have people that aren't on drugs, and that's what happens when you live in a ghetto with no food and you have to, steal to stay alive.
You don't live in a ghetto. They give away food.
But that's one cracker, would that fill you up?
They give you more than one cracker. You come back with bags full.
And then you got six kids to feed.
Why do you have so many kids? You can't take care of them.
Because it's money on your table when you can get on welfare and get paid.
Well, if you get money under the table, then you should have money to buy food. More than one cracker.
I said on the table. No, but
on the table, under the table.
You should. Why do so many black families have no cracker on the table? They don't even have
I don't know of any black family that don't have some food. Please point them out.
Oh, boy. Okay. Come with me to Atlantic City.
Shit, you look at these kids going to school, they're big as ass. They're big as hell. You say they're starving?
That's because they're eating.
Good gracious.
I own a fitness and nutrition business. I know that if they're not starving, but everything that they put in their body is an empty calorie. A food desert is in, a lot of places.
You know why you got these food deserts? Because it's not feasible or practical to put just the opposite in those areas. Now, nobody's stopping anyone. Look, if you got money, you want to do that, go ahead. But reputable businesses are not going to do that. It's not practical, especially if they trade it.
It's not profitable. But the thing is that it's moral. You can't, food is your number one place of nutrition.
How do you go about getting food? How do you go about getting food?
You have to see. You know the proverb.
You go to the store, you buy groceries, right?
You go in your backyard and you plant a garden to learn.
Ain't nobody going to be in the backyard digging up in no dirt and worms. That ain't going to happen.
Sure, sure. It should have happened before. That was what the
hell, it ain't going to happen when people giving away food. What kind of logical response
but
is that?
But it's not food, Tianchi.
To them, it's food.
But to them, it's killing them. just like eating lead paint.
Yeah, you get canned goods. You get canned goods. You get some greens. You get apples and oranges.
You can't do that.
You get some carrots.
There is no store to do that.
You can go to the. You can go down to Reverend Rice's. You can go to the soup kitchens. The church. Where is the church is at? You just elected one a church leader down in Georgia. Where is he at?
No. Only a dumb fuck would eat.
Well, we should talk about that senator who just won down there, that Christian senator in Georgia.
No, we should talk about the food deserts. We should talk about the food deserts in the black community, and that's what,
in those communities, you can go into a store and fill up a bag and walk right out with it.
Of crackers.
We already talked about that 1 week.
You can go in and get ham, steaks. You can go in and get walk right out with it.
And then you would be on camera, and they would come in and get you down.
No, they're not going to get you because your prosecutors was black and Democrats. If they look like
they
need
you.
What they stealing, don't bother.
But they got you. They still got you.
You guys, John, can you... someone be in charge for the next few minutes. I'm not feeling so good.
What's wrong?
What's wrong? You pregnant?
I'm dying of martyrdom.
All right. That's just,
well, see.
That's what happens with people who don't know what they're talking
John,
about.
John, you're in charge. I'll be back in 10 minutes.
Well, we go to school for 12 years or so or more. How can we be 200 years behind? If you don't even go to school for like 12 years, maybe one or two generations, and then, you can't catch up.
The highest
really?
Dropout rate is the highest dropout rate is with blacks. What are you talking about, John?
In L.A., half the kids that are Latin community, 50% of the kids in the Latin community are not going to school.
Right. The same with the black community. I don't know if it's 50, but it's a huge amount. We don't graduate.
Well, there's no reason. They got brand new schools. How come they don't stay in them? They free.
They don't.
They go to school. They can eat.
Right. But you got to deal with gangs always trying to recruit you and then drug addicts and people who want to do car shows, side shows. You got all kinds of pressures going, and that's why I brought my family to Reno, because we don't have those kind of gang pressures and drug pressures and baby making pressures. We don't have those kind of pressures up here.
People go to clubs, people go to churches.
St. Louis. I don't have to worry about that bullshit.
They have no problem going to clubs. They have no problem going to the store. They have no problem going to church. You just have to go to school, and it's the parents' responsibility anyway. Is a white man supposed to fix a black family's problems?
That's why so many black families are proposing black only school. Because we don't respect white people.
I mean, do you want a white man to walk into a black house and go, "You need to go to school today, Johnny"? No way.
They do it. What do you think true enough?
Oh, they do. They're supposed. You think that someone's going to listen to a white man walking into a black house, and they're going to listen to this white man?
They do it all the time. You got to understand, 43% of all black men have been in jail or prison. So that means you're dealing with parole and probation all the time, everywhere. That keeps their jobs. That's why you're arrested in the first place, so that you can continue that.
Maybe they need to have mass sterilization.
But then that's
Maybe they should have mass sterilization.
No, I like the women's way of they eliminate men altogether.
I see where the majority of people dying from COVID are the people that had the shots. So what need to be is that they need to make them wear a mask, stay away from you at least 10 feet, eat on the outside of restaurants, be able to show a passport. Anybody that has had their shots need to be treated that way because you're endangering those who have not.
You mean the people who had the shots are the ones who
people
are endangering?
People who had the shots, according to CDA data, they're the largest fatalities of COVID. So those who have not had shots need to stay away from them, away from those who have, because they got a problem that they're spreading, probably.
Are you proposing
and
the
I
Chinese?
And I felt sick a lot this year at the nursing home.
People that are same sex need to expose that so people would know it. That way you don't have to have your kids don't have to play with theirs. Your kids don't have to be in a classroom being taught by someone like that. You know, there's a restaurant someplace where people who belong to a Right to Life organization, and they wouldn't serve them because they said some of the staff was homosexuals, were gay, and it was offensive to them. So I say, well, you shouldn't allow them in your restaurants neither. Your restaurants should be for straight.
Were they homophobic?
Well, who homophobic?
The people
in the restaurant would not allow the member of that organization, which was a pro-life organization, to come in.
Why?
Because it goes against the principles of the people that worked on the staff, who was homosexual. You had the same thing some years ago when the president of Uganda was coming to Dallas for a convention. And you had the homophobes at working for a Four Seasons hotel talk the hotel and the council on his reservation. He had to stay at a place called a hotel called Yowdy. Howdy.
You know, they can't just assume all Africans have AIDS.
No, it wasn't AIDS. Uganda has an anti-same-sex policy in the country.
I know certain countries have that, including Russia.
They should have it. That's their business.
Well, I'm not an LGBTQ sympathizer in the sense of an open supporter, but I do think a lot of gay people struggle deep down, and they shouldn't be punished for their feelings.
Nobody's punishing them for their feelings. They shouldn't be throwing their feelings on the others, and especially targeting your kids. These organizations are targeting your kids. I wouldn't allow my kids to play with them.
I know John and I have discussed that a lot. All kids are trying to identify.
There's a high school someplace in Virginia. There's a high school someplace in Virginia where they had boys lined up, these black kids in the bathroom, lined up shoulder to shoulder, and you had other kids on their knees in front of them giving them blowjobs.
What?
That's crazy. Who said what? A kid in the background?
No, I'm just crying because that fake news, I don't know what the hell that is.
Traditionally,
ain't no fake
black
news.
People,
it's true. I tell you what, I wish I could get the guy.
Older blacks do not like their children to be gay.
Let me ask Bernard what the name of the school was.
Are you saying they're in the bathroom and like five people are getting a BJ at the same time?
Yeah, they line it up for it.
And who's giving it to them?
Students.
I mean, like girls or boys.
Student, boys. The boy came home and told his mother that he was not gay. What is it? Bisexual. Grandma, I'm bisexual.
People?
Yeah, I'll be in service.
Well, that shouldn't happen in any school, no matter what your gender orientation
How
is.
You gonna stop it? No, these.
Have a home monitor in the bathroom.
Well, what can they do?
You can't monitor it all. There's an actual case of a kid who identified as non-gender, and he's a boy, but he was going to the girls' bathroom, and he raped a girl, and then the school sent him to another school, and then he did it again to another girl. And then the dad went to a PTA meeting and made a big stink about it, and they arrested him.
Called him a terrorist.
They called him a terrorist. It's like, well, if you had your daughter, attacked, especially when the school knew about it. This is the morality set that we have. It's crazy.
Well, that kid violated her rights.
Yes. Well, he is a she, according to him.
And this is not nothing new. Heck, I had teachers tell me this back in the 90s, a school in Kansas City. They said that they leave the class, they go to the bathroom, a girl and a boy meet up, and that's what they be doing. Now you got boys doing it.
Well,
male.
They do at my middle school? While the cop is 20 feet away, they punch each other. They lift them up in the air like they're horsing around. They say the F word. Five kids made up a song the other day that had the F word in it every other sentence. Well, they don't care about authority at all.
That's because
people are mad.
Kids are body slamming and throwing food at the wall about 20 feet away from the cop who doesn't even pay attention.
I don't blame him. I wouldn't either. What you going to do, get in trouble?
Well, he should be monitoring. We have 3 hall monitors at lunch, and they work harder than he does. And we're paying him $90,000 a year to watch the kids.
That's why you need to have the ability to take your kids out of them situations.
Well, we have 1,100 students, and we have 3 lunch periods. So that's over 300 kids in one lunch period, in one cafeteria.
Well, hell, in India, they feed, in some of those temples, over 30,000 people a day.
What?
For free, in those Indian temples. Over 30,000. Some of these much as may get upwards of 100,000. They feed them free. They don't have that kind of foolishness going on.
I want to go to Mozambique and help that guy in the national park there.
Well, you want to go to the jungle. You don't have to go that far.
We're 3 minutes shy of 90 minutes. Who would like to do their conclusion first?
90 minutes?
We've been on the air 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And we've talked about everything from whistleblowing to Abraham Lincoln.
I thought you stayed on for 2 hours.
To gay sex in classrooms or something like that. In bathrooms. Okay.
Well, Don said that blacks weren't allowed to read and write, which is, I asked him, how do they produce all those scientists in the late 1920s and that? They weren't allowed to read and write.
How about those female mathematicians that were in that movie
about the
airplanes?
How about the lady in space engineer? I come from a long line of professors, and cops and professors. So whatever I'm saying, I have that experience from that side of it, seeing my family members, my mom, seeing those people interact with the communities. I've seen that, all my life. So
if these people were so smart, why'd they keep voting for them damn Democrats?
because there's nothing else right now to do. The perception is that Democrats will help all people, and the Republicans are only out for a segment of people.
Yeah, the Democrats take other people's money, is what they're doing. That's going to stop here pretty soon.
Money. What kind of a stupid statement was that?
That's going to stop here pretty soon.
Did you guys hear about the family of the slain officer who refused to come to the congressional ceremony honoring him? His name was something like Sickpin, or he died on January 6th.
Yeah, he. I didn't know he refused to make the honor, but they just had it yesterday.
Yeah, well, the family wouldn't come to shake the hands of Mitch McConnell and McCarthy.
I don't blame him.
Why? Because you said they were basically phonies.
They are.
I don't think Mitch McConnell's that likable of a person. But
he's jacked up.
Well, he earnestly tries in his own right, but there's something off about that dude.
It looked like he got too close to a turtle.
All those people from Kentucky are messed up, including the Paul family. I like Ron Paul, but his son is a little goofy. Well, let's say I'll say goodnight so John can take a shower in the gym.
And people don't know what the hell they vote. If I heard somebody say that, well, Womack is a senator now. Now maybe our kids can walk to school safe and they will have better curriculums. Well, damn it, federal government has nothing to do with that. Federal government has nothing to do with that.
John, did your call drop?
No, I'm still here.
Okay, that way I don't have to walk in the other room and look for it. Okay,
well,
you guys.
I'll make my conclusion. What I've learned today is that you can go to school for 12 to 14 years and still be 200 years behind in education. I didn't know that, but that's the new math.
Hell, governor of Oregon said that math is racist.
Math?
Math is racist, yes.
Well, there's more meth than math at school.
M-A-T-H.
I have a conclusion. You can go to 13 years of public school. You will benefit from some things, but I agree along the lines with John that people have their minds made up in their social pedigree already, and that's going to determine their future. The things that you value are the things you're going to pursue, whether it's sports or belongingness or status. Rarely does it have to do with your educational interest.
Well, I think that it's not going to get no better than what it is. It's like tuning an automobile. You can get as much out of it, can't get no better.
I even see in middle school the social pedigrees developing.
There's an actual story of this guy who's very successful, very smart. And he said in school he wasn't that good. And he did his SAT. And he had like a 1300 or 1400. And he got to go to a really high educated school on scholarship. And he later on started his own business and invented things. Well, it turns out years later, got a follow-up from the school. And he said, you know, we made a mistake. You got the wrong SAT score. Actually, you scored an 850. And as he was growing up, he had been told he wasn't that smart. And
that's
so we always
funny.
Thought he wasn't smart. So the point is, once he was had the assumption that he was that he really was smart, he rose to that level, is what I'm saying. If he had taken, if he had gotten that actual 850 score, he would have said, oh, I'm just dumb and not doing anything in life. But because he thought that he was smart, he became smart.
That's a good story.
So maybe we should just change all this, the SAT scores for all the black kids.
They do. They spot them 310 points.
Before
they
get fit
enough.
Give them 600.
That's what I was talking about. He's right about changing the SAT because the SAT.
I don't think every school district does that.
It's college entrance. At like your Harvard and your Yale, they spot them 310 points before they even sit down and take the test. They deduct from the Asians.
I kind of wish I could retake the SAT.
What is that noise? Sound like somebody digging up some food desert or something.
I actually just grabbed a burger. I'll put mute on.
It sounded like John ruffling Lay's potato chips. Okay, you guys, I'm hitting the mute button. We're all going to bed.
All right, well, happy Pearl Harbor Day. What's left of it?
Thank you, and I'm usually off Tuesdays or Wednesdays, so I'll let you guys know a day ahead of time when the show is, okay? All right, take care, y'all. Okay?
All righty, thank you very much, guys. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.